Hey everybody, it's well, I guess this is the September issue of this magazine that I publish here on my Patreon. I think for the first time I'm gonna be late. I think I might have to post this one like an hour late over the line into what comes after September. October, right? Everyone's excited about Halloween. Terrible holiday, just terrible. Historic failure from me. It's late. If I'm low energy this time, I feel like every time I say I'm gonna be low energy, I'm feeling low energy. If I'm low energy this time, it's not because I'm particularly depressed. I mean, not more so than usual, than everybody. It's just because I'm recording this really late and I'm very tired. I woke up early this morning from a nightmare. So, you know, this is just what you do. You know, I'm professional. I gotta post through it. Anyway, this is a Q&A, so let's get... before the Q&A, recap. What have I been doing this month? This month... Well, good news. It seems like every fucking one of these I say, hey, soon I'll be sending out the vapors and the RFCK pins. And this time I've been sending out the vapors. I started earlier in the month and I'm still not done. It has taken like most of the month to do that because I've been, it's just a lot of paperwork. It's just a lot of envelopes and filling out and trips to and from the fucking, the post office. And also because on like the sketch, the draw something in my copy rewards, I've been trying to make those really nice and good and put a lot of effort in them. I can only do a couple of those in a day. But whatever, it's worth it. I think I got about 20 or so sitting here in boxes ready to get shipped soon. And I think I got maybe 19 or 18 left that I have yet to actually finish doing and enveloping. And then they can go in the box. And then when I'm going to take them to the fucking, I was going to say hospital, but the post office. That's good. It's getting there. It's pretty good. RFCK pin wise. Just yesterday, I got a shipment of most of the pins and the test coin. And I gotta say, I got a couple different test coins and I am like, even seeing them in person, I'm like undecided about like what I want to do. Do I want the hard enamel or I want the soft enamel? That's the question. Hard enamel, soft enamel. Color, I'm set on, but I'm holding it right now. I'm holding what might be the final design of the coin in my hand right now, and I gotta say, it is gorgeous. Look really good. But I might make a small adjustment. I don't know. But they made one little fuck up. They flipped the metal colors on two pins, and I'm annoyed. I'm not even annoyed that they did it. I'm just dreading getting back to my contact lady and being like, you fucked something up. Could you fix it? Like, I hate that I'm going to have that conversation. But I am. And that's been this month. Oh, and movies. I've been watching way more movies than usual because I decided to watch, what was the one that kicked it off? That my recent movie kick. It was, oh my god, I can't believe it. It wasn't Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. It wasn't 12 Angry Men. It was Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, which I decided to watch on a whim because Jose, the YouTuber Jose, mentioned it in his video about, Married with Children. He talked about one episode and he compared it to Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, and I liked the comparison, so I looked it up, and it was a movie in which people do nothing but talk. Very little happens, except conversation occurs. And I was like, this is cool. I bet there's more movies like this I'd never heard of. And I asked on Twitter for recommendations, and I've probably watched like at least like maybe a dozen movies this month, which is like a ton for me. That's, I'll watch like a couple movies a year, most years. So this is wild, wild and crazy. I'm not going to go into all that. I gave a rundown of like what I thought of like basically all the movies I've been watching on Sunday on the PCP. When we were recording that, I talked about all those on the guest episode that Cybershell was on, as it just so happens. And that will be out on Friday, which I thought was cool. I'd been looking forward to recording that so I could give my thoughts on some movies, and I did, and it was nice. So that's been my month. I guess it's pretty good. I guess I can't complain. So yeah. Enough about that. Enough about me. Who gives a shit about Ben Saint on Ben Saint's Patron Q&A update podcast? Enough. No more. What did you all have to say? Bevan asks, this was a carryover from last time. Oops, forgot to submit this in time. I'll do so just for fun now, aka to preserve these questions for next time. Yes. Great podcast. Thanks. Anyway, DigiCorp people were mad because a bunch of people joined and shit the place up. Right, this was, God, it was so fucking long ago that I briefly was the owner of the DigiCorp. Holy shit. I don't even know if that exists anymore. But yes, this was when May, I think, handed it off to me. No, May handed it off to the mods at the time, including Thosetimus. I think it was Thosetimus. Was it? Oh, fuck. I'll be embarrassed if I'm wrong. And then I think they gave it to me because they didn't want it. And then I took it and I did a little fucking around with it. I invited some RFCK people. We all had a laugh. We posted some slime emojis. It was all in good fun. And then I handed it off peacefully. You know, very little trolling involved. I didn't have to do that, but I did because it was the right thing to do. I am a perfect person. Right. That's the story of the DigiCorp. They can be mad. Who gives a shit? Anyway, I also thought you had a physics degree, not philosophy. That's interesting to hear. Anyone onto a surprisingly few number of questions? I have both. I double majored in physics and philosophy, and I got my Bachelor of Arts in both of them. So that's maybe where that confusion arises from, Bev. Money talk. This is continuing the question. Money talk. Based. I'm curious, have you started churning? Churning, I don't know if I mentioned it, but if you don't know, churning is when, Bev is referring to the practice of getting a credit card, earning the like sign-up bonus, or the like initial bonus of the credit card, and then canceling the card and doing that over and over again, which I talked about doing. Answer, no, I have not started churning because I got my new credit card in time to make the big like Kickstarter-related purchases, which is good. I have earned 2% cash back on those, and which has amounted to maybe $100 and something in cash back shit because of my fucking 2%, which is good. That's great. However, it turned out there was another card that I could have applied for that I would have actually gotten like I would have made like $500 in cash back from sign-up bonuses. Just the timing would have worked out that way. And I tried to sign up for that card right away, but they were like, no, they turned me down because I had just signed up for the other card. So I was very, very disappointed by that. And I gave up churning for the time being. I will probably at some point try and sign up for, there's some other card that has like a $250 sign-up bonus. At some point, probably after I cash in this sign-up bonus rewards from this card, maybe I'll get that one, use that one until I earn the 250, get it, get rid of it, go back to this one until I have waited long enough to sign up for, I don't know what I would do. I only have the next one planned out, and I'll do it at some point. But no, I haven't started doing it yet. If it's not too invasive, I'm curious if you have a budget and what, like, the general distribution is. Well, I mean, lately I don't really bother to budget because my costs are way below my income because I am self-employed. You know, in most months I have qualified for COVID bucks, for unemployment money, just because my income week to week is so low. So that has increased the amount of money that I've been bringing in. So, like, the amount of money that I was making, I was in the black from, you know, Patreon, and I feel like this is complete inside baseball, but, like, whatever, fuck it. I had my expenses pretty much figured out to the point that I was, like, with rent and food and all that shit, it was in the black just based on my ad revenue and PCP money and Patreon. And, you know, that was basically most of my income. Now I've got that plus, you know, the occasional COVID bucks infusion. So my income has risen, and I was already, like, budgeted to the point that I was fine. So, no, I don't need, like, I spend money on all the same things I used to before, and it's just, you know, I'm not buying anything else, but I'm getting more. So, no, I'm like, I don't bother to budget. I just buy my minimal shit, which is basically just food and rent. And the only things I really splurge on are, like, the only thing I've really spent much money on is, like, Kickstarter stuff. Like today I bought, spoilers, lol, a custom rubber stamp that I'm going to stamp the New Los Angeles City insignia on all the envelopes when I'm sending out pins. I'm gonna stamp that. It's gonna look really sick, I think. That cost me $30, but that's not even really an expense because that comes out of the Kickstarter fund, which I think Munchie's hanging on to, and, you know, I'm making a list, and I will get that $30 back because it's Kickstarter related. That's, like, the only stuff I spent money on. And gummy worm shit. I although not lately because I haven't been able to get the isomaltoligosaccharides, but I'm looking into Chinese alternatives. They have not really panned out thus far. Most of them will only sell to me in, like, a metric ton. And those that will sell smaller quantities have not really proven to be a better deal. It used to cost me about $11 to $13 per kilogram. The only ones that will sell to me in manageable quantities from China tend to be floating around the $20 per kilogram point, which is, like, it's okay. It's not great. I really thought I was going to get it from cheaper over there. It's not panning out, but keep looking. That was a bit of a tangent. Anyway, given your gender as language take, how do you incorporate he, him, girls? I remember I saw this question like shortly after I posted this the last episode. I saw this question and I thought that sounded really weird. And I gotta admit, my knee-jerk reaction was to say, no, that doesn't make any sense. No, you can't. That's a contradiction. You can't have that. And then to say, but my gender is language take. I thought about it a little more, and I was like, no. Ben, don't give in. Don't give in to your nasty knee-jerk reactionary urges. That's your worst self-talking right now. Don't listen to him. Now, on further reflection, it's the same as anything else. Sure, you know, language is prescriptive, and if you want to prescribe, you can prescribe any noun. You can mix, who's to say you can't mix and match your nouns with your pronouns? Boy with she, her, girl with he, him. There's no law. There's no rule. If I'm gonna say, oh, if you're a boy, you have to go by she, him, that's the same as being like, oh, you can't be bi and call yourself a lesbian. No. No cops. Cops, get out. It's cop behavior, and I won't tolerate it in others or in myself. So how does it incorporate? I don't know. It's just fine. It's just fine. Everything's fine. Language is prescriptive. Don't worry about it. How was the guest PCP for you? And is Eleazar okay? You mean them? I was confused because I'm thinking last week we had Cybershell on as a guest. You mean the all guest episode? Eleazar did work overtime on that. I also worked overtime on it. I put in a lot of work. We kind of split. We kind of split responsibility. I had to. He had to put it all together, but he like sent me like pieces of the file, and I had to sort of like render it all together as one final whole. I had to go through tons and tons of files, sorting them out to send to him and be like, okay, these are from this group. So I did a lot of extra work too, but I mean, it was my mess to clean up. So I was asking for it. So I didn't complain. But you know, it did involve a lot of extra work for him. I told him like, hey, sorry, I know I made this hard on you. So I told him that I would give him like a piece of, I would give him like a, the, but I think it basically worked out that I ended up just like giving him the money that I would have made on from being on the episode. I gave to him more or less, or it might have, I don't remember exactly what the numbers were, but it was something like that. You know, I was like, hey, Nate, just make a note this month, give Eleazar, you know, extra money for his extra work on this thing out of my pay. And that was like, we agreed that this was fair, and that's what we did. So I think he's fine. Have any Munchie leaving RFCK thoughts? I mean, I still know how to contact Munchie, and like we still like occasionally hang out in real life. So Munchie leaving RFCK has not felt like much of a change at all to me. I don't think that Munchie, it has just kind of made me feel that like if this is Munchie leaving, have I basically left? Have I been left for a while now? I mean, I never really talked in the server that much. I would mostly just be there, be on streams and stuff, you know, judge contests and whatever, which is, you know, I guess we're not really doing that anymore, but like, you know, I don't know. I guess Munchie leaving RFCK doesn't really feel like anything, and I'm sure he's not gone forever anyway. So that's my thoughts is, small PCP episodes are based. I think they're kind of based in their way. That drawing you did of Blue Eye Bevan was super fucking cool. Bevan, I have been meaning to finish your copy of the Vapors, as in like draw a thing in it. You said to draw Bevan in there. And that is one that I have been procrastinating on. Yours is the last PayPal payment one that I have to do, and it's been sitting on my list staring at me. And I have not been able to decide like what I want to draw Bevan doing. I want to have them doing something. And sometimes I'm like, should I give Bevan the big blue eyes? I'm not sure. Probably. You did say it was canon. I've been thinking maybe have him like have it, I don't know, it's slime, have Bevan like doing machinery, doing maybe like fucking around with like a blowtorch or something, building little robot pieces. I don't know. I imagine that's what Bevan would be doing in the free time, working on A. Evan Lamau. Holy shit, Slime and Punishment finale was very cool and worth it. Thank you. However, it's not the true finale. True finale is coming. You might be aware of this by now. True finale is coming. And unfortunately, I have done some work on it. I have not had much time to work on it. But once that's what I plan to mainly be working on after all the Kickstarter stuff is done. Can't wait to see what you do next. I'm filled with anticipation. Okay, yes, same. F for rowdy fucker. To be honest, literal tears, lmao. Oh well, all things must end, like this message. When you say F for rowdy fucker, do you mean munchie? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that's a joke or not. Okay. Thank you for your questions, Bev, lmao. Ferris Yak says, I feel like a lot of ground was covered here on for a shorter podcast. I felt like last episode's was like terrible. I felt like I was like emotionally derailed, couldn't stay on topic. It was shorter than usual. I felt like I whined the whole time. I didn't think it was good. That's why I called it the bad one. But if you liked it, valid. Firstly, you're allowed to have months where you feel low energy or whatever it may be. Letting us know is fine, but don't let it feel like you've let us down. Well, I guess I was feeling like it was a pattern, every month I'm like, oh, I'm low energy. I feel depressed because I'm still waiting because I still haven't done the Kickstarter stuff. But it's almost done. It's almost done. And then this month again, I'm like, I'm like, oh no, I am still working on it, but like, oh, it's almost done. It's almost done. It's almost done. I guess that's just the human condition for me. Continue. Another traditional Ben Nuzlocke would be incredible. I understand streaming seems easier, but if value for time investment is an issue, I feel like most of your fans would be down for crowdfunding, and I think your skills with the Nuzlocke formula could give some really enticing high tears. I take a sip of my coconut milk or almond milk and coffee here. I think this is referring to, I think last episode I mentioned that I was thinking of streaming it. I mean, and I think I said that like I could stream it and then edit it down to make a traditional Nuzlocke out of it. I think that, yeah, I don't know. You're treating it like an either or situation. I think what I was talking about was basically doing both. Like, because the experience of playing, I would play the game by myself, just with the microphone on, or I would flip the microphone on when I wanted to say something. I would like, it was just I would think of something to say, I would flip the microphone on, and then I would just, say it as I was fucking around in the game, or like a battle would start, and maybe I would turn on the mic and record myself as I was reacting to the battle or whatever. And like, streaming it would basically just be that, only the mic is on all the time, and there's some chat interaction. I don't know. I think, yeah, the only thing that would really be different would be the chat interaction. So I don't know. Would that affect the tone enough that it would not feel like a traditional Ben Saint Nuzlocke? I don't know. I still have not decided what format I want to do that in, or when I want to do it. Like I'm definitely in the not too distant future. I still have to think about like what I would want the theme to be, how I would want to structure it, what like kind of twist I would want to put on it. Because it's all about each series is about like what twists does this have on it? Like what are the gimmicks of this run? And I would want to choose a format that complemented whatever I decided to do with that. So yeah, I don't know. Still got a lot to think about with that. I feel like most of your fans, as for crowdfunding, I don't know if I would want to like crowdfund it ahead of time. Although I mean, I would need some method of choosing who gets named Pokemon. I think in Sun and Moon, I just did it from patrons, like high tier patrons were like high on the list. I don't even remember. I think that was it. Maybe I would just do that again. I don't know. So which I guess is technically a form of crowdfunding the Nuzlocke. It would be a nice, relatively like high profile way to push the Patreon, which I have not been doing that much in recent months. I have not really been living up to the patreon.com/bensaint meme. Shameful. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot to think about. Finally, a question, because apparently this is what these comments are actually for. Yeah, I mean, technically. If you could see a work perfectly adapted, what would it be and into what medium? Specifically for you, but if you also had to break into a wider audience idea, then whatever. E.g., a Gib comic fully realized as a trigger-style anime, or One Piece as a well-written novel so you could have a 10,000-hour audiobook to listen to while working. Oh my god, I don't know. A good adaptation is good on its own merits, not because it's an adaptation of something, not because of the thing that it's the adaptation from. So I don't even know. I don't know if I'm prepared to answer this question. I have to think of something that like has some strengths that I think could really be brought out well in another medium. And I'm tired. That makes me tired. That makes me so tired. No, I can't do it. I'm sorry, I'm not up to answering this question. I don't care. I don't care about seeing something adapted into another medium. It is what it is. Yeah, that's my answer. Sean Garrett asks, okay, Ben, it may be time for an unironic sincerity post. My respect for you as a... Are you about to gush? Okay. My respect for you as a creator has grown exponentially this year. I've probably said something in this vein before, but when I first started watching the PCP and found you, I didn't really get it. I had no idea who you were, and you seemed kind of annoying at first. Wow, thank you. But that quickly changed. At first, I didn't even know you were Nate's brother. Funny, but I didn't know it in the beginning just because you two seem like such polar opposites. Over time, my admiration for you has only risen, while for Nate, it has only seemingly decreased over time. I know, that's... From my perspective, that's kind of your arc. And thanks for appreciating me. I also feel comfortable admitting this here, but I truly was one of the people who would have been classified as an anti-SJW at least PAC in 2016. You know, so many people were. You know, it was... Things were different. It was probably always a little bit cringe, but things didn't... Things weren't so serious back then. There was a little less at stake, maybe, if you wanted to be a little bit of a shitlord. So, you know, I get it. I'm not going to sit here and say you converted me to a commie, but I feel inappropriate to say you nudged me in a more proper direction. I've changed so much since 2016, so, you know, same. You and me both. Makes me really glad I attended that 2016 Bernie rally. I wish I'd attended a 2016 Bernie rally. I could say that I was voting for Bernie before it was cool, but alas, missed opportunities. Combining these general ideas, I propose a question. Why do you think it is so difficult for Nate to say that Black Lives Matter? It's actually pretty frustrating, at least to me. Do you think he is waiting for it to cool down before coming back or something? I know you and Gib have said very minute things about his long-term disappearance, but nothing concrete has been given. Just general answers like, I don't feel like it, I don't want to, or the perplexing, Nate said he doesn't like being on anymore because of me, says I'm hostile, you last week. Okay, this was posted before, oh no, two days ago. I was about to say this and you responded to it yourself. Welp, looks like this aged decently. That being said, did you check out my Mr. Best Guy video? Seems like people liked it. In case you did, he's like, I did not watch the entire thing. I watched portions of it, and I get it. You know, I'm familiar with the Nate criticisms. I've heard them. I have said some of them myself. I got the gist of the video, and valid. Right. The thing about the general non-answer is why he's not on the podcast. I addressed that last week on the podcast, and the answer is just that he doesn't want to. And I don't really get it, but kind of it doesn't really matter if I get it. It is what it is, and that's the only reason what he needs. He just doesn't feel like doing it, and whatever. The thing about the Black Lives Matter thing, I don't think he's waiting for it to cool down. All right, I don't want to dwell on this too much, but I don't think he's comfortable committing to any position until it is over and history has chosen the winner, and then he can say, and then he can agree with whichever side posterity agrees was right. To have an opinion now while something is happening is to potentially risk being on the wrong side of history, and who nobody wants to do that. Too bad not supporting Black Lives Matter is like obviously being on the wrong side of history. So, oh, wah wah. Why, Nate has been known to listen to the opinions of some far right grifters. I don't know. It's not. It's it makes sense. It makes sense that he's a little. He's a little. Ooh. He's a little. Ooh. I don't know. I don't know if I could say Black Lives Matter. 'Cause like, what if someone disagrees with me about that? Like, oh, I could like, that would be kind of divisive. So better just holding up a little sign. Compromise. Whatever. Whatever. This is not a. This is how it has been. Anyway, Gold Orchard says, "The idea that homemade gummies was your equivalent of the sourdough starter is pretty on brand." I vaguely remember making that comparison. I don't remember why, but whatever. "Your YouTube promo for Slime and Punishment was good." It was not a promo. It was the pseudo finale. What do you mean? What do you mean, my YouTube promo? I'd be interested to see that semi-animated comic style used for storytelling. That was storytelling. That video was like not the finale, but it was like the pseudo finale of the story. I don't know. I'm a little embarrassed. I don't know what you mean. I was using it for storytelling. That video tells a story, unless I'm misunderstanding what you're saying. Oh, jeez. Although I hear YouTube is a terrible place to monetize animation content. Well, yeah. I mean, that video made no money at all. Even it got, I don't know. It probably made like, I'd be amazed if it broke like $2. If you got the COVID vaccine tomorrow, what's the first thing you'd do? Like, if only I got it, probably not much. I'd feel better. If everyone got it, if only I could go out, it wouldn't make much difference. If everyone got it, I don't know. I would probably just want to go. I don't know. I would just want to go. I don't know. I just want to go out to wherever people were congregating and congregate with them. I don't know. Go out to the, invite some people, go out to a bar or something. I don't know, anything. It wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter at all. And just go fuck out and hang out around town, because that's what I used to like to do. Sigh. Another question from Bev. Just a simple question. What is the Mentos Trio? You mentioned it on a PCP episode lightly, but say you'll save it for another time, then never bring it up again. Did I? Okay. So this is a perfectly reasonable place to talk about that. The Mentos Trio was. Did I really not talk about it? Okay. Well, the Mentos Trio was when I was a God, how old was I? I was probably in like third or fourth grade, you know, like late elementary school, early middle school, around fourth grade, fifth grade. No, it would have been like fifth grade, between like fifth and eighth grade, you know, middle school. During the summers, I went to this program called College Academy, and it was like day camp, but it was supposed to be structured like college, and there was like, you could choose your classes, right? You could choose which, like, you know, you would pick like four classes to do during the day. You'd go to two in the morning, have lunch, go to two in the evening. You'd pick them from a catalog. They would have, like, you know, young 20 somethings, like college kids, like teaching these classes or whatever. And there'd be things like, you know, rocketry, wherein you would like build model rockets and set them off or whatever. You know, that was a thing. College Academy was a big thing that I really, really liked as a kid in the summer. But on the bus ride to and from College Academy, I'd get dropped off, take the bus there, take the bus home at the end of the day. My mom would pick me up in like some YMCA parking lot or whatever. On the bus ride, you know, when I was just starting, there were these kids that would sit at the back of the bus, and what they would do is they would, I mean, you're familiar with Mentos, you're familiar with the jingle, right? The old commercials. It doesn't matter what comes, fresh goes better in life, with Mentos fresh and full of life. Nothing gets to you, staying fresh, staying cool, with Mentos fresh and full of life. Fresh goes better, Mentos freshness. Fresh goes better with Mentos fresh and full of life. Mentos, the fresh maker. You know, and the thumbs up. So they would sit at the back of the bus, and the back of the bus had, like, you know, the emergency door with the window in it, and they would buy Mentos, and they would wait for the bus to stop and for a car behind us to, like, pull up close to us and stop, waiting for us to move again. And when the bus would stop, they would take paper and they would write Mentos the Fresh Maker on it, and they would slap it up against the window to the back of the bus and hold up their Mentos in the same pose, like, thumbs up, like, yeah! With the sign that says Mentos the Fresh Maker. And the idea was just see what reaction you would get from the people behind the bus. And it was like, sometimes they would like just laugh. Sometimes they would like look annoyed. Sometimes they would give the thumbs up back or something, you know, just see what happened. And there were these three kids that did this at the back, and they were the Mentos trio. And I thought they were the coolest fucking kids. I wanted to be them so bad. And then I think, like, a year or two into that, like, one of them got too old, aged out of the program, and I hung out with these kids at the back of the hill. I hung on their every fucking word. I was, like, sitting around them, like, trying to, like, absorb culture from them or whatever, thinking they were so fucking cool. They finally got a free spot. They basically had no other choice but to accept me into the Mentos trio, and so I became the third member. I carried it on. I carried it on for, you know, the next, like, two... The other kids were older than me, so, like, I think there was 1 year where I must have been the only surviving member. You know, the other two, I think, were a year older than me, so they graduated the year before, and then the next year, you know, I was the only one left over, and I picked, like, you know, from the kids who had been around when I was there, I picked, you know, whichever two I thought were the least cringe, and we were the Mentos trio. I was the, for one glorious year, I guess I must have been the most senior member of the Mentos trio, and then it was over, and I... So that's it. I think that pretty much sums it up. I think it's pretty funny. It's a fun memory of my childhood. I hope that answers your question. Next up, from Drip. Question: why cringe, bro? Answer: why not cringe, bro? I don't know. Talk about what you want when you ask for original art. Obviously, everything we make isn't purely original. What aspects do you consider original, and what is most valuable? Is it merely a combination of pre-existing ideas that make something OG? Would you consider your own work original? Also talk about the debate, which you've surely already done. Wrong. Wrong, Drip. I didn't watch the debate. I'm glad I didn't watch the debate. I heard it was shit. I heard everything I need to hear. I heard about the standby. I heard about the, whatever. I'm checked out. Maybe I'll vote for Biden. Maybe I won't. It makes no difference. Literally doesn't matter because I'm in Massachusetts. I'm just gonna sit around and wait for the coup. Just gonna wait for the coup. It's gonna be good. It's gonna be. About original art. I mean, the only thing that matters about art is that it's interesting and that it makes you think and it sticks with you. So I just think that, you know, I think that a work achieves that more easily. I'm more likely to, like, be struck by a work in that way if it's something entirely new. It doesn't have to be, but I just, that makes it more likely to do that to me. What do I consider original? I don't know. A work is a combination of all kinds of elements, visual, audio, you know, words, writing, animation, color, character design, what else? All kinds of shit. And, you know, some of these things are more, you know, you can have, like, you could take the same character design and put it in a cartoon, you put it in a comic, you could put it in a book if you just describe them the same way. Other things like cinematography, like the angle of a shot, like there's only so many angles of a shot, I guess, so like some of those things, there's just not enough variables that you could really have something that's like entirely original anyway, no matter how hard you try. Obviously nothing is purely original. I don't know, I guess just the most, I guess every aspect that you can point to and say, like, yeah, that isn't just copied whole cloth from another thing, doesn't have the same characters, doesn't have the same, you're not, like, repeating a color palette, right? If the movie has its own color palette that isn't, like, obviously some ripped off from some other movie's color palette, then that's good. That's thumbs up. I guess I would apply to basically every aspect of every work. And, like, the more of the things that aren't just taken from something else, then good. And, yeah, I know. Nothing is ever truly new. Everything's been done before. But I don't know how I can explain it any better than that. And maybe it's not even an explanation problem. Maybe it's that the whole concept of originality just is on such shaky footing that there's no bedrock to even find, no matter how clearly I could explain myself. But you know what? That's okay. And then thanks, Ben. You're welcome, Drip. Thank you. Appreciate you. Jeunesse says, "Hi, Ben. Today I just started reading a book about polymaths, which talks about how people can master multiple disciplines and blend them together to execute unique ideas, like a modern Benjamin Franklin or Leonardo da Vinci. I realized just then you venturing out and making your own gummies is a new skill you were learning. Perhaps in one of your future comics, your characters would be making gummies and it would be authentic because you did dozens of experiments yourself." I don't know if I'd make it quite as on the nose as that, but, yeah, I mean, things that I could incorporate. I feel like the main benefit of my, like, kitchen experiments is just that I understand food and flavors better. I really do feel like I do understand why food tastes the way it does and, like, what food is made of better the more I fuck around with that stuff. Could I put it in a fucking comic story? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, why not? Haven't had any ideas to do that, but I could see it. I could imagine such a world. Has there been any skills you've learned in the past besides drawing, or is there any new skills you would like to learn in the future? I'm thinking of like skills that I have like decided to pick up and then like and then done. I mean, editing. I kind of learned how to use Sony Vegas for TBAP, and then and my understanding of it has not progressed much from then. But I guess that's kind of a new skill I learned, a very limited skill. It's just how to use one software, and I guess the skills are somewhat transferable to other softwares. So video editing, took a stab at music writing one time. I wouldn't say I learned the skill. I just fucked around for like a couple of days. I don't know, other than drawing, anything I like really set my mind to. So no, no, never. New skills I would like to learn in the future. I'd like to be a better animator. I occasionally try to do a little bit of limited animation, and I find it so time-consuming, but I maybe that's not my fault for not being good. Maybe that's just inherent in what animation is. I've done a little bit of fucking around with that. I won't be any more specific context-wise, but like related to the true finale of Slime and Punishment, and it's been, you know, it's a little rough, and you know, I would like to have more of that kind of thing incorporated into the finale, but time wise it's like the more of that I allow myself to try and jam in there, the longer this is going to take, and I'd really rather it not take that long if I can help it. But so I guess animation is something that I have a very limited understanding. I have some understanding of, but my practical ability is like, it's very minimal. Anything else? A new skill. I don't know if there's anything I would consider a skill that I want to learn how to do. You know what I think would be like writing, specifically in the like essay writing. Like I considered myself to be pretty good at writing essays, like in high school, right? But like, writing at a high school level is bullshit. It would be an embarrassment to be if I was still that good now. So like, writing essays for like video, I don't know, I guess I would kind of like to get into doing video essays again at some point. I feel like that's like a pretty obvious thing I could start doing at some point, is like, you know, video essays about whatever shit. I got a fucking YouTube channel. People like video essays. I probably should have been doing them for a while now, but I just don't, and that's probably a missed opportunity. So yeah, essay writing. I'm kind of relearning essay writing and then applying that to that is something that I would like to feel more confident about. Because if I wrote a script now, and I would feel like very... I guess I did it with the Winnie the Pooh. I didn't feel that confident in those scripts. I don't know if I loved them. I didn't hate them, and I didn't love them either. So, yeah, I'd like to feel more confident in my skills with that. Do you have any escape plan for the eventual collapse of U.S. society? I think with how the climate's turning out, it wouldn't surprise me if the value of the dollar takes a nosedive late next year. No. The climate is not going to destroy the dollar that fast. I mean, eventually, that'll be decades in the future. I mean, I mean, I could see the dollar taking a bit of an... I have actually been thinking about this. I could see the dollar taking a nosedive in the wake of, like, you know, a particularly ugly Trump coup. Maybe. Or something like that. I don't know. I could kind of see it happening, like, no matter how the election plays out. I don't know. I have been thinking about... Is there, like, a more... If I'm expecting the value of the dollar to drop, is there a more secure currency that I should invest in and, you know, maybe wait out the drop and then reinvest in dollars? Or not. I don't know. I think... You know, I mean, on a relatively short timeline, I don't know. Is it too optimistic to think that maybe... Maybe Joe wins the fucking election and every fucking shitty neoliberal country in the West is like, oh, yay, oh, we return to normalcy. Oh, the democracy is saved. And everyone's like, everyone celebrates and the dollar spikes a little bit. I don't know, maybe, possibly. Anyway, I don't see the dollar collapsing in the next... It's not, like, the pound dropped after the Brexit vote. I could maybe see something like that happening to the dollar in the next year. I don't see, like, climate destroying the country. I don't see the country, like, fully collapsing. Like, the United States might be a failed state. It might be at this point. But, I mean, I don't think that, like, the city that I live in is going to be burned to the ground or anything. I don't think I'm going to have to flee the geographical zone we would today consider to be the United States. I don't think it's going to be like that. So, you know, thumbs up base. Like the shit's going to go down. It's going to be like the government. Like the government might be fucked. It's not like, yeah, I don't see my street going fucking, like, martial law. I mean, maybe technically, but, like, I don't see, like, people running up and down my street, like, doing, like, gang warfare. I don't know. Things would have to be, I don't know, no matter how bad the fucking... I mean, this is Massachusetts. We're all pretty, like, yeah, there's people with, like, we support first responders signs, but they're not, like... I don't know. I don't see it getting to be like militant around here. I don't anticipate having to fear armed uprising in my own backyard, but you know, I guess it's probably famous last words, but that's how I feel. Has there been any skill? I found another cool debunking video for you to watch. It's by Hakim and it's about conservatives having the worst arguments against socialism. You're the one that recommended me the spooky, scary socialist video, right? I'm almost positive that was you, and I really liked that video. So I will probably give this one a watch at some point. It's a fun watch. I hope that you will survive. I'll probably survive. You have been interesting this year. It's a definite evolution from over the years you have been on the internet. Yeah, thank you. I mean, I think I have just been adapting to the times. You know, these are desperate times. These are trying times. These are the times that try men's souls. You know, I'm being forged in the fire, I think, a little bit. That makes it sound a little cooler than it is. But I think that's what's going on. I'm reacting to the world that is becoming increasingly demanding more scrutiny. Inviting it, maybe? I hope well, everyone. I hope that answers all your fucking questions, because that's it. That's the end. Oh wait, no, we got a last minute question right as I'm about to stop doing this. Lol. Got a last minute question from, oh god, how do we gotta navigate back to the fucking to the fucking posts. Gotta navigate back to my post. Sorry, everyone. I'm keeping you. I'm keeping you up. I'm keeping you from all your business. Gotta scroll down. Newest question. Wait, where is it? Wait, I just fucking saw it. I gotta cut all this out. No. What? I swear to God, I saw a last minute question. No, I think I'm just a fucking idiot. I think I'm just a fucking idiot, and I, like, imagined it, and I thought that they saw them out of order, and I was like, oh, there's a new one, but no, they're just seeing the same old question in order. Sorry, bad ending. Got your hopes up. I know, you thought this was gonna go on. You thought this was never gonna end, but alas, we must bid one another adieu, fair listeners. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for your questions. Thank you for your comments. Thank you for your largely complimentary things that you all tend to say about me. it's nice. It's really nice that the comments on this thing are so positive. They make me happy. I appreciate all of them. Thank you for that. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a patron. I'll see you here next month. See you back here next month. See you around, see you on Twitter, see you on Discord, see you on YouTube, see you where the fuck. Leave a comment, leave a question down in the description box down below. I'll get to you in the next one. All right, that's it. Peace out.